Let's pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us in this moment. Lift our hearts up into the heavenlies, that we might know the grace of God, that we might live in Jesus in this moment and rejoice. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So, once in a while, a circus would come to Little Sheridan, Wyoming. And my parents or my grandparents would take me up to the fairgrounds, and I would sit in the stands watching the show, watching the performances. The ladies in the sparkling leotards doing backflips on galloping horses. The guy up on the high wire almost falling with that long white pole, walking his way across the slender cable. The trapeze artist somersaulting through the air and just in time catching the trapeze as we all gasped, a taut rope net below them. The ringmaster cracking his whip and shouting into his megaphone, "Look, the lion will jump through the fiery hoop!" And that big cat, kind of not sure, but then making the leap. One thing after another, the clowns juggling their bowling pins and then face planting off of their unicycles. It was all great, right? We would cheer, the crowd would roar, we would clap, eat our popcorn and our peanuts, and delight ourselves in the performances. We loved the performances. I loved the performances. And so, being a little boy, you can guess what I did for the next few days. I was the one on the high wire, walking across that slender cable with my stick. Okay, it was a rock ledge outside our house, but you know, I was doing that. And then I was the one running and jumping onto the couch, just barely catching the trapeze as the crowd gasped. I was the one cracking the little whip I had made out of a rein and some twine, baling twine, with my hula hoop. "The lion will now jump through the hoop. Come on, wolf, come on, jump, jump." The dog just looking at me. I did it, and I imagined all the time that the crowd was roaring with delight. They loved me. They loved my performance. And I think in many ways, we tend to live our lives in precisely that way. How many of us go through our lives performing? As if we are a traveling circus swung into town, setting up our three rings, getting on our sparkling leotards, practicing juggling our bowling pins. And juggle them we do. We juggle our meetings. We juggle our lives. We crack the whip on ourselves. We work hard. We perform the balancing high wire act, whether it's performance in our families to keep everybody happy, to keep everybody loving us, whether it's performance at work to keep everybody loving us. Always we are performing. Performing for the roar of the crowd, the clap of the hands, and that sense that they love us. Because the performance goes all the way to the bone. If we see the clap, if we hear the roar, we know that we are loved. But conversely, if people are too busy chomping on their popcorn, or maybe throwing their popcorn and booing from the stands, yeah, that's not how we handle clients around here. We're deflated, broken, even angry, self-protective in our anger, lashing out, "You don't love me." And so we often live our lives kind of vacillating back and forth between giddy excitement. "My mother-in-law loves my bean salad. I'm the greatest person ever." Or despair. "I messed up the data entry yesterday. I'm an idiot." always performing, always comparing ourselves to the other circuses in town, the other lives in town. And not much has changed through the years. In our epistle reading this morning, there are plenty of circuses going on in the city of Corinth. In fact, a traveling circus has swept into town, a traveling circus of preachers. Super apostles, they call themselves. And they perform. Oh, how they perform. Strutting around in the various house churches, setting up their three rings, juggling pins of rhetoric, doing backflips on horses. Their sermons are amazing. Their presence, powerful. And always they live for the clap, for the roar of the crowd. And the Corinthians are happy to oblige. These are fascinating people with powerful performances. And yet, if a Corinthian isn't particularly impressed with the lion crouching beside the fiery hoop and the bellowing preacher in his megaphone cracking it, look, here's what's going to happen now. If someone's not quite impressed, then a slap on the face, as Paul actually says they're doing, a crack of the whip. How dare you? Self-protection. You don't love me. And so these super apostles, these traveling circus performers, bully others into loving them. The super apostles, always performing for love, and always comparing themselves to other traveling circuses. And it's starting to rub off, because the Corinthians are now starting to compare the apostle Paul, the true apostle, to these super apostles. You know, Paul, when you were here, you didn't really put on much of a performance. The guys we've got now, their sermons are like backflips on horses with sparkling leotards. And what did you do? It was kind of dull. It was kind of slow. It wasn't as exciting as it could have been. You just don't quite, you know, your performance isn't up here, Paul. And they even say, hey, we know more about Jesus than Paul ever did. And we believe him because, wow, I mean, it's an amazing performance. But all Paul can do in our epistle reading is just shake his head at the Corinthians. Shake his head. You want me to put on a performance? Fine. Okay. I'll talk like an idiot for you for a moment. I'll be stupid in my speech. Are these super apostles? Are these traveling circus performers? Are they Hebrews? Me too. Are they Israelites? Me too. Are they sons of Abraham? Me too. Are they servants of Christ? And now I'm really talking like an idiot, but they're not even in my league. Paul begins then to chronicle his own performances. He begins to speak about his own high wire act. But the list of his performances that he gives is strange, bizarre even. Because it's not the list of glowing performances with crowds cheering and clapping. It's a list of falling off the high wire, missing the trapeze and breaking his collarbone on the taut ropes. It's a list of coaxing the lion and the lion not jumping through the hoop. Of failure after failure after failure. 5 times whipped with Jewish scourges, 3 times beaten with Roman rods, stoned once, shipwrecked 3 times, accosted by bandits over and over again, and a night and a day spent hanging on to flotsam and jetsam in those shipwrecks I mentioned a moment ago, hungry, thirsty, a mess of a life. And then worried about the churches on top of everything else. If I will boast, says Paul, I will boast in my weaknesses, my failures. Not everybody clapping and cheering at my performances, but failed performances. If I will boast, I will boast in my weaknesses. For again, this is not a list, a resume of amazing performances. It's a list of failures. A list of failures because, you see, God has invited Paul into a different way of living. God has brought Paul into a life lived before the face of the Heavenly Father, the face of love itself, the face of one who claps just because Paul is there, there in Christ by the power of the Spirit. Paul doesn't have to put on a three-ring circus for the Corinthians or anyone else. God knows he has been faithful. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who is blessed forevermore, writes Paul, he knows that I'm not lying. He knows the truth. He knows I've been faithful. And so Paul doesn't have to impress anyone. He can live in the grace of God without having to put on a performance. We live our lives trying to keep people happy, trying to put on a performance, juggling our lives, high wire acts through family situations and circumstances. And in some cases, it's worthwhile. But we do it for love, not out of love, but for love. And we live in fear. But this morning, God invites us into a new way of living, a different way of living. A friend of mine, who pastors a church up in the Northwest, a number of years ago, had a bit of a high wire act in his church, a bit of a circus situation. And he dealt with it, did the best he could, and failed at his performance. And that Thursday night at the elders' meeting, it's a Presbyterian church, at the elders' meeting, there were no cheers and roars, there was no clapping, there was popcorn throwing and a lot of booing going on. You botched this, Pastor. You botched it. We're furious with you. You botched it. And my friend tried to explain what had happened, but some people were buying it, some people weren't. He felt horrible. But later he told me as he was driving home, he suddenly had something of an epiphany. He had done everything he could. And he realized that his conscience was clear before God. God knew that he had done the best that he could. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I'm not lying. And in that moment, he said, a wave of peace just kind of rolled over him. I don't have to put on a circus show for them, even for my elders, because God is the one who I live before. The Father who is clapping just because I'm me in Jesus. I don't have to perform. Maybe you've dropped the ball this week or dropped a bowling pin. Maybe people have been less than impressed with your performance. And the anger, the self-protective anger has sprouted in your belly. Maybe you're despairing. God invites you to a new way of living. Living in the grace of one you do not have to perform before, in the grace of Jesus Christ in front of our Heavenly Father by the power of the Spirit. You are already loved, and God is clapping because he loves you as you in Jesus, not because of your performance. And so you don't have to put on a three-ring circus, you don't have to juggle, you don't have to do the high wire act. to be loved. And that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.